Mark, I've got to tell you, it is a treat to watch Billy in all these programs that he has been in over the years, and then here he is in the flesh, doing what he does.
Well, it's just such great fun. I mean, Bill really was unique. I mean, there were many child actors back in the 50s and 60s, but he really stood out. He was just brilliant, and it was great to watch him grow up and become such a skilled adult actor as well. And it's always fun to cross paths. I always enjoy it.
We've done this show together, too.
We have indeed.
Yeah, we've been in this very room together. But you weren't here, George.
That's right. I was back in St. Louis. Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
It's a neat room, though. It kind of got that flavor of the program.
Classic vibe. Classic.
And by the way, did you see my earthquake detector behind you, Billy?
I actually have it. There it is.
Godfrey Daniel!
When an earthquake
It's like Buckminster Fuller designed it.
It starts to move. It only moves when the building starts shaking. And it is shaken, Danny, what? Maybe twice in about 8 years.
Mm.
Not much.
Well, the curse of the movie. Let's hope
when
it doesn't
starts
strike
swaying.
With the cops outside and the bomb scare and everything else.
We've got a bomb scare going outside here, Mark.
My Lord. Well, it's definitely interesting times, guys. But certainly you can't fault the company that we're in with each other.
Coast to coast here. Chaos Central tonight.
And, Mark, we're going to keep you around for some Twilight Zone questions along with Billy. Okay, we'll do that. And, Billy, tell me a little bit more of your music. First of all, your CD. If people want to see you in action or get your CD, what do they do?
Well, right now we're starting the first video, which was the song we played earlier, Wrestling with Survival. But until that's cut and finished and edited, if they want to hear the record, they can go to Reverb Nation and listen to the record in its entirety. I call it a record still. That's old school. But you can buy it at Amazon.com. You can buy it at the GRAGroup.com. In a couple of weeks, it'll be up on iTunes. It's really fresh. It's only been out a week. Yeah.
And do you play the...
I play everything on
everything.
The album.
You do it all.
It's a solo record in the truest sense of the word. I have a really nice studio in my house, and everything's... A lot of instruments. Everything's set up and pre-mic'd, and I cast myself as the drummer and the bass player and the keyboard players, et cetera. And, I hear the parts in my head, and I, for better or worse, I'm the only guy...
The drummer is Anthony Fremont.
That's right. The guitars are by Will Robinson.
That's right.
And we got Lanier from the Planet Minbar on bass.
Let's go to some of the phones. Let's go to Hackstown, New Jersey. David, you're with us on Coast to Coast. You're on with Billy Mumy. Mark Zakrie with us, too. Go ahead, David.
Hello, Billy Mumy. You were on my radio show in Hackstown, New Jersey, right before Lost in Space, the movie, came out.
Wow. Of course I was.
Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. It's clear as a bell right now. How could I ever possibly forget that, Dave?
Billy, I am honored. When I was a kid, I wanted to be you so bad. I wanted to be on the deck of the Jupiter 2 so bad.
Okay.
And I'm 52 years old, and I still want to be on the deck of the Jupiter 2.
You're scaring me a little, Dave.
Listen, I found on the internet you can buy Lost in Space robot for $10,000.
What a deal. It took Bobby May 3 seasons to make that much.
Yeah, yeah. But it's cool because you get all kinds of good stuff.
If I had one, I would turn it into an MP3 player.
Well, listen, the only thing I didn't like about Lost in Space, the movie, is they didn't have the original Jupiter 2. They made it the Gemini 3 or whatever. And I thought the Jupiter 2 was it has to be the Jupiter 2 all the way through.
Oh, they made a Lost in Space movie, did they? Oh, the pain. The pain.
Oh, my delicate back.
Oh, dear. He was great.
Good talking to you, Bill Mumy.
Thanks, Dave.
Later, buddy.
Great. What did you enjoy more, Twilight Zone or Lost in Space? Where did you have the most fun?
Oh, Lost in Space was my family. It was my base. I was there for almost 4 years every day. So, I mean, you can't compare that experience with a group of people that you're with every day from the age of... I was 10 when we shot the pilot and 14 when we went off the air. So that's really... That's my family. That's my roots. I loved working on the Twilight Zones, and I loved working with Cloris, who I've worked with 4 times. But, you know, those were 3 or 4 days. You're on a show for maybe 5 days at the most, and then you're on to something else with a whole other crew and a whole other cast. So as much as the Twilight Zones have held up, artistically speaking, maybe better than anything else, I'd have to say my heart goes out to those years on Lost in Space.
Super. Yes. Mark, you have remastered all the Twilight Zones. They look great.
That's right, George. And all five seasons are out, including season five, which has the voiceovers, the commentaries that you and I did. So that's great fun. And but I grew up in the 60s and watched all these great shows. And in fact, right now I'm actually rebooting a very famous science fiction show. I'll be able to announce that shortly. But it's, I'm a huge devotee of 1950s and 60s science fiction TV, and Twilight Zone was great, and Lost in Space was great. I'm every bit as much a fan of that show as anyone calling in.
Your nose is growing, Mark. maybe the first 16 or 17 episodes.
Well, that pilot is fascinating. If no one's ever seen both versions of the pilot, it's really an education in how to do television. It's fascinating. The first one without the robot, without Dr. Smith, and then the revised version. Very interesting.
Yeah, it was the most expensive pilot ever filmed up to that point in time.
Wow.
Tell us about the robot, Billy.
What a great prop. It was designed by George Kinoshita, who also designed Robbie the Robot for Forbidden Planet.
Okay. Because there's similarities.
Yeah.
They're rounded.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. The bubbles on the top and the neon that lights up when they speak, the claw-like arms. Brilliant design. I think I don't think you can improve on it. If you're going to put a guy in a suit, that's a really good one. And, of course, Bob May, who was inside it and memorized all the dialogue, really brought that prop to life. And then his dialogue was re-recorded by Dick Tufeld, a wonderful voiceover artist and a cool jazzy cat who was good friends with Miles Davis.
How long did the guy have to stay in there?
He loved being in there. He would be happy as a clam to have been in that robot for 10 hours a day.
You didn't get claustrophobic,
No,
huh?
He loved it. He absolutely loved being inside.
What if
he
had to go to the bathroom or something?
Well, then he got out. They
Is it easy to get in and out of the thing?
He was a young man at the time. He was in his 20s,
How do you get in it?
The head, the bubble thing popped off. That was one section. And then he would pull his arms in and lock those arms into place. And then the special effects guys would, Stu Moody and Paul Skelton, Red Skelton's brother, would unbolt the torso section and pull it over his head, and he'd just hop out.
Was there a smoking cigar with a robot?
There is a story. You want to hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we used to tease Bobby all the time because he was so passionate about being in the robot. And one day, Mark Goddard, who played Major West, he and I told the special effects guys that when we break for lunch, we'll let Bobby out of the robot. You guys just go ahead and break early. We'll let him out. So everybody left Stage 11 at 20th Century Fox and went off to the commissary for lunch. And we left Bobby all alone in the middle of this sand set, out there alone. He didn't even realize what was going on. We started to walk to the commissary and leave him alone in there, and we both looked at each other like, come on, we can't really leave him in there. So we went back to the soundstage, and the soundstages at Fox, they're huge. They're like aircraft hangars. So we walk into the stage, and they're 50 yards or so in front of us on the set. There's the robot, and smoke is coming out of the robot. Uh-huh. And I start to panic. I think, oh my God,
right?
There's so many wires and things in that thing that literally a wire could have fallen down and short-circuited and singed his hair, and he couldn't have,
dying inside.
Oh my God, he's a crispy critter in there, barbecued inside the robot. So we rush over and we undo the robot top, and this is the truth. It's not an exaggeration. Bobby's in there. He's got a cigarette in his mouth. He's holding a pen light up by his chin in a little, and he's got the trades, the variety. He's got the variety down there, and he's got smoking a cigarette, little flashlight, reading the trades, happy as a clam.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was a one of a kind guy.
Everybody was panicking.
Yeah.
Let's go to Danny in Citrus Heights, California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Danny.
Hello, George. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
That's good. I just have a two-part question. The first part is for you, and the other is for Billy. But the first part is, how's your father doing? And could you please tell him thank you for serving? For Buster, I couldn't get in to, say thanks for, the men and the women that served, so we could have the freedoms that we are enjoying.
Okay. Well, your father passed away.
My dad didn't. My dad wasn't in the service, but. Maybe yours was, George.
Yeah, mine was.
I think he's talking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, George is fine.
You're breaking up a little bit. Yeah, he's okay. He's 88. He's like a rubber ball, but he's holding on.
Well, that's good. Yeah, and also Billy, one question that I have for you. I'm kind of nervous right now, but
I was wondering, do you ever get, like, nervous? I mean, because I remember, like, Ricky Nelson was talking about how when they were doing the Ozzie and Harry show, how he'd always have his scripts kind of like on notes on his, you know, like on the back of his hand or whatever, and Ozzie would be telling David, you know, because he was trying to memorize them, and
mm-hmm.
he was telling him, you know, this is costing us money. We're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to memorize it. And so do you ever still get butterflies in your stomach? I mean,
you know, honestly, I did 3 episodes of The Adventures in Ozzie and Harriet, and I loved being a part of that, and I especially loved seeing Rick and his band lip sync to
great
those.
Family.
Yeah, James Burton playing that Telecaster was so great. I don't want to sound cocky in this answer, but you know what? Memorizing dialogue has always been really, really, really easy to me. And, you know, just kind of hitting my mark and believing what I was saying. I don't get nervous when I'm working. I will say that I get nervous and butterflies in an audition situation. You know, when you're walking into an office and there's all these people there judging you and you kind of, there's 5 other guys in khaki pants and a blue shirt waiting to go in and do the same thing. That's not the most comfortable situation to be in, the audition thing. But as far as when you're actually working, that's always been a lot of fun. The work is fun.